Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey guys, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to the Heroes of Faith. Where we sort of take time, we go from Genesis to Revelation. We go through every major story in the Bible. And man, it's incredible. So many authors over so many years, yet it all fits together. God is a really awesome God, and he's very smart. So today we're going to go way, 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 way back in the beginning about Abraham and Lot and how this thing got started and where faith came from and how God built a people. So we're going to kind of pick up in Genesis chapter 13 if you're taking notes. And so it's about Abraham and Lot, and they're getting ready to separate. So after Abram returned from Egypt, he and Lot moved to Bethel, where they first pitched their tents in Canaan. Here, Abram had built an altar to worship God, and he sacrificed another offering and again talked to God. Abram had become a very rich man. Not only did he have many servants, flocks, and herds, he had much silver and gold. His nephew Lot owned many servants, sheep, cattle, too. Whenever these men and their servants pitched their tents, the place looked like a tent town. The country all around them was dotted with cattle and sheep. The problem is, later on, trouble arose between the servants of Abram and the servants of Lot. The servants who cared for the flocks quarreled. Abram's servants wanted the best pasture land for Abram's flocks. Lot's wanted the same thing. And so trouble grew. When Abram heard about the quarrel, he looked over the countryside and saw how hard it must be for the servants. How could they always find places nearby where they could share the tender grass and have plenty of water? Abram saw two nearby villages of the Canaanites. There was not enough room for everybody to live together peaceably. So Abram told Lot, "Listen, let there be no more quarrel between us and our servants. There's not enough room for both of us to live together with our flocks and herds. But see, the whole land lies before us." And he said, "Listen, Lot, if you choose to go to the west country, I'll go to the east. If you choose to go to the east, I'll go to the west." In other words, this godly man, Abram, gave his nephew the first choice. This is a godly guy going the second mile, giving the coat and a shirt. He said, "Listen, son, pick. I'll be fine. It's not me. It's God." So Abram and Lot could see far to the east and the west because God had promised Abram all this land. Abram could have chosen the better part. He could have sent Lot and the servants away. Instead, he offered Lot first choice. Lot, forgetting the kindness of his uncle, chose the east country, where the Jordan River flowed. "I can always find plenty of grass and water there," he replied. "My flocks and herds will increase until I, too, will soon be very rich." Well, afterwards, God told Abram, "Lift up your eyes. Look northward and southward and eastward and westward. All the land that you can see, I will give it to you and your children and your children's children." As yet, Abram and Sarah could have no children, but Abram believed God. God told Abram to journey through all the land, see how large it was. So Abram came to the land, to a plain called Mamre. Here he pitched the tent and the trees near the city of Hebron, and he built another altar to worship God. You keep noticing something. Every time Abram pitched a tent, he built an altar to worship God. You don't read that about Lot, you read that about Abram. So, in Genesis 14, when Lot chose the fertile plains of Jordan, he thought he was making a wise choice. He saw in the distance the large cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew that he could make much more silver and gold by selling sheep and cattle in those cities. So he moved towards Sodom. Later, he pitched tents and near the city. Whilst finally, he moved his family inside. Now, that was a major mistake. Now, Sodom was not a place for good people to live. People of the city cared nothing about God. Some were very rich, but they're also very wicked. And Lot learned much from them, not good. One day, trouble came upon Sodom. There had been war, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and the three other cities had gone into battle. Well, they were defeated. The conquering soldiers entered Sodom and Gomorrah and crowded through the streets, pushed their way to the men's houses, took everything they could carry away. They even captured people who were slaves. Lot and his wife and his children were taken as slaves with the others. One captive escaped, though, and fled across the river to find Abram. He told about the battle and what had happened to Lot. When Abram heard this, he took a few friends, 300 men and 18 men servants, to go after the captives. After a long, hard march, they finally came upon the enemy's camp, a place called Dan. It was night time. The enemies lay asleep. Abram and his men rushed upon them and frightened them. The enemy thought a great army had come to fight them. They weren't prepared. So they ran away, leaving the tents and all the goods and all the captives. Melchizedek, king of Salem, came out to meet Abram and gave him food. Melchizedek loved and worshipped the true God. He was a priest of God. He thanked God for giving Abram such a great victory and asked God to bless Abram. Because Melchizedek was a priest of a true God, Abram gave him a tenth of all the goods that had come from the enemy's camp. The people of Canaan honored Abram for his courage. The king of Sodom went out to meet him, and he offered Abram all the gold and silver and food and clothing that had been taken from to the enemy's camp. He asked only that the people return to Sodom. Abram would not accept any reward because he had promised God to not keep anything for himself. So all the people and things he owned were returned. Lot and his wife and his children went back to live in the wicked city, but Abraham returned to his quiet tent home under the oak trees near Hebron. Now, Hebron's a magnificent place. I've been there 3 different times to see where he lived, where he pitched his tent. Bottom line, it's not where he was at, it's who he knew. He knew God, he trusted God, he believed in God, and that's why God blessed him. And so when you start reading the stories, starting back with Adam and Eve, from the time they got fired, evicted, kids start killing each other, God's always been looking for one thing. God's looking for somebody that'll trust him, somebody that'll believe in him, somebody that'll, you know, put their life on the line. God said, listen, I'll supply all your need according to my riches in Christ Jesus. I'll bless you everywhere you place your foot. I'll bless you. I'll honor you. I'll surrender you with divine favor. Psalm 5:12. God said, people will like you and not even know why. God has promised a great thing. Now, we might be living on an alien planet. The Bible says Satan is the temporary little g god of this planet, 2 Corinthians 4:4. John 10:10, the devil steals, kills, and destroys. People ask all the time, why did God let that happen? God didn't let anything happen. He's not in charge. He gave this planet to Adam. Adam sinned, and he gave it to the devil. So the devil is the temporary god of this planet. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. And so, because I'm the family preacher, I get to answer a lot of questions. Joe, why did this happen? I said, well, the devil's in charge. You're supposed to resist the devil, believe God, and trust him. He'll work all things out for your good. Whatever the devil steals, he's going to have to pay back 7 times. You can pretty much sort of plan on bankrupting hell itself because God's going to bless you. But you got to keep your faith. And the Bible says faith speaks. So guard your heart with all diligence. Spread a bit of the issues of life. Don't let your mouth start running negative. Well, I don't understand. I don't agree with this. And I don't like this. No, no. The Bible says let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Call those things that be not as though they are, because that is what God wants. Guys, thanks for listening today. God bless. Great, great story. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it. All there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.